You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all. So a week after our Signs and Wonders conference, I was given a prophetic word from someone who's from another church outside of Hull, and they had a picture of our church, and above our church was what can only be described as a heavy cloud over our church. And it was a sense that God is really upon us at the moment, that his presence is upon us, and his attention is upon us. And fast forward a week later, I get this email from someone who used to be a student here about 6-7 years ago, completely out of the blue. And they said this: when I was praying for you, I saw a vision of heavy skies over Vulcan Street and almost a dew from heaven beneath. People were coming out of pure desire to seek God. Eventually, what started out as a drip became a total outpouring that ran through the streets. Now, one of the passages that God has been speaking to me about of late is from Zechariah 10. It says, "Ask for rain from the Lord in the season of the spring rain. From the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation in the field." And when I was thinking about all of this, I then opened up that morning the book on common prayer, which is a book I like to read from. And the reading for that day was this very passage in Zechariah chapter 10. So I kind of felt like God seems to be saying something. And I believe we are in the early days, the early moments of rain, of the presence of God upon us. And this primarily looks for us like moving from a season of preaching the word out of season to now preaching the word in season. The climate has changed. It's shifted. For many years, it felt like you were in a season of wilderness. You were sharing the gospel. You were inviting people to church. There was no interest in the things of God in the Bible. And then all of a sudden, we have people, and I say it every week, and it keeps happening. It happens at every single service. It happened at the first service, happened again this service. People coming who are stirred spiritually that there is something more to life than this. That's got nothing to do with us and our programs and ministries and courses, but actually it's just a deep yearning inside of them, and they're reading the Bible or they're turning up and wanting a Bible. And it's just absolutely incredible. And it does feel like the season has shifted. Now, historically, the church, as I said, has been preaching out of season. What did this look like? It looked like a number of things. It looked like we embraced secular narratives masquerading as kingdom stories, and we smuggled those narratives into the church, which are the idols of our age. And those idols have been emptying the church of its power. So we've had an impotent church for many, many years. And when I say church, I'm talking globally. And that met with secularization has led our, certainly Western Europe, into what you call a faith crisis. Essentially, church attendance year on, going down. And we have essentially a post-Christian context which was immunized against the power of the gospel. But there has been a steep, deep stirring since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at a place called Asbury in the States, and then with the pandemic, we have noticed a shift of season. There's a deep hunger for Jesus, people in the church coming back to the simplicity of just him. We're done with, I know we have great things here and a great building, but do you know what? The lights and how good the coffee is and all that is really secondary. We just want Jesus. We just want his presence. And certainly a deep hunger for Jesus with people who are unchurched and don't have faith. And I love it how one person put it: it's as though secularism is having a faith crisis. So life without God, life without meaning, is having a faith crisis. And the Spirit of God is drawing people as they are having this crisis. And this crisis looks like this, is that the life that they have been sold isn't working anymore. So the secular script of life without identity and meaning, life that's found within rather than outside in terms of through God, that life isn't working, especially amongst young people, especially amongst the Gen Z and the Gen Alpha. Gen Alpha, I've got two children in that category myself, are the first generation to not know anything other than smartphones, social media, and of course the devastating effects emotionally and mentally from a global pandemic. But this has resulted in a deep interest in spirituality, because now they're sending up an SOS to God, and the script that they've been sold, which we see a lot through social media, isn't working, is making this generation, that generation, in terms of their emotions, in terms of their mental health and well-being, sicker than ever. The generation is more anxious, they're more confused about identity, and it is a real crisis in our nation. So they are now, you don't need to convince them how dark the world is, they know. Just switch online. But they're so fed up with the darkness, they now crave the light. Now that also means there is a growing interest in other things. People have a deep craving for spiritual things, but that has sadly also resulted, as you would expect, in things like the occult, the New Age, crystals, and so on. I even noticed with Halloween this week, things have ramped up even more. And I think that's almost like keying into the age that we're in terms of people's hunger for something more than actually what they see with their own eyes. So this is where we are right now at this juncture. The rain is falling and softening the ground like those prophetic pictures. And it's mainly around people coming to faith. Like, how is God moving right now? And we have lots of ideas. What does it mean for us when God is moving? But actually, God is moving in a way which is seeing people hunger for him, coming to faith. He's having a chain reaction, and that whole households and whole families are now coming to faith, and children are bringing their parents to church. It's an extraordinary thing. But like it states in Zechariah, in the season of rain, ask for the rain. I find it interesting that even though the rain is falling and softening the ground, God says, lean in and still ask for the rain. The ground is contested. This is not a time for the church to be a spectator, to be apathetic, to be laid back, just say, well, look, whatever happens, que sera, sera. It is a carpe diem moment. It is a kairos moment. It is a moment to lean in. And as we looked at last week, this kingdom is advancing, and we must take hold of it with intentional, strategic, passionate faith and force. And the term used in Matthew 11 is with violence. It's a figuratively speaking. It's like someone banging on the door at night. Wake up. It's like, imagine you're asleep and someone just gets a glass of cold water and splashes it on your face. It's a time for the church to wake up, O sleeper. God is on the move. The kingdom is advancing, and it is an opportunity for the church. And the best thing we can do as Christians right now is just be comfortable in your own skin. What I mean by that is, and I know I'm stating the obvious, but I think it will land differently because of the season we're in. We need to be unashamedly live as a Christian. Unashamedly pray. Unashamedly talk to everyone we meet about your relationship with God. It is a time where, as we preach the word, it is in season. It is landing on ears and hearts and eyes that are open. It's like that picture of the lost sheep. If you've ever studied sheep or looked at sheep, they've always got their head down eating, haven't they? They're just eating grass all the time. And it's like the lost sheep representative of the generation are actually now not eating. They're looking up and it's like, where do I go? Where can I find help for my brokenness? In other words, it's a time just to do the things a Christian would do. Just be a Christian. Maybe years ago, you had a Bible at work and you just like smuggle it in your desk, in your drawer, and get it out when nobody was looking. Maybe it's the time to actually go to your local coffee shop, canteen, your workplace, or whatever, and actually read the Bible on your lunch hour. And you watch what happens. And as I've mentioned with various people I speak to aren't Christians, who have no Christian mental furniture, is that even they are aware online and with media, they're aware of this surge, this hunger for spirituality. People returning to faith, people returning to church, people in the, you know, people who are household names, people who are celebrities. Like, there's something going on. People's, in terms of secular music, the lyrics are communicating a desire and a longing for something more. You speak to teachers and they'll say that the kids in their class, their eyes are open. There's something happening. There's something stirring. The rain is falling, softening the ground. Therefore, ask God for the rain. I want to read a few verses from Jeremiah 29. Starting at verse 4, it says this: "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon: build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage so that you too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek," and just highlight this, "seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. And this is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know this is..." Is everyone's favorite memory verse coming up? If you're having a bad day, we've had a bad week. We've had problems in our car, burst water pipe when we got home, Sky TV not working. Oh, that's a disaster with a three-year-old wanting to watch Peppa Pig. Actually, I secretly like Peppa Pig. Anyway, where am I? "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me and I'll listen to you." This is what's happening in this generation. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you." It's like it doesn't take much. Today is the day of salvation, declares the Lord, "and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." This passage, like Zechariah, it acts like a mirror. It describes and puts language to where we are as a church, as churches, with what God is doing in this nation. It's like a window into our cultural moment. It's so multifaceted, so much in here. And for those of you who are new here, you may not know, but our vision is to call our city home. And this text here, seeking the peace and the prosperity of the city that we love and we're called to, Hull, it is foundational to our vision. So it's such a powerful scripture. And it speaks of a people who are in exile, who've been exiled. And I want to say that is the place. We are a people in exile. We are, the Bible says, we are aliens and strangers and foreigners. We do not belong here. There's a homesickness in our soul. We are for the things of heaven, for the kingdom, for another world. And we are being sent as ambassadors to this world to represent the King of Kings. And he speaks of being in exile, and the church is never, ever, ever to bemoan the fact that they're in exile or to resist the fact that they're in exile. But actually, the church thrives and flourishes and grows and expands in extraordinary ways when it is in the margins, when it is in exile, when we are in an era of exile. Exile is the experience of being in an environment where the dominant values culturally run counter to one's own. Let me give you one example from history in the last century in China. I remember many years ago picking up, I think it was the Times newspaper, and it talked about like millions and millions of people turning to Christ in China. And in 1948, the Chinese communists took over China and they tore down church buildings. But it turns out that these people were an agent of the Lord God Almighty, because they created one of the largest house church movements ever. The church, Christians, went underground and started to meet in people's homes, avoiding the authorities, avoiding persecution. And they were 1,000 times more effective than even the many, many missionaries that have been sent there. And there we now have one of the largest and fastest growing churches in the world. Very similar to what is happening in Iran right now. Persecuted, oppressed, and yet it is the location in the world of the fastest growing church in Iran. The church exists for exile. That is when we flourish. And it's like in the early church where faith isn't assumed, we're not in control, we're not respected, there are no free rides for faith. And our response as Christians whenever we are in exile isn't compromise or control or imitation or assimilation. It is we live with tension. We live with tension where we commit to both, on the one hand, faithfulness to God, and on the other hand, influence. And it is faithfulness that gives us the power to bring influence. And it's interesting to me that word in Jeremiah 29 where it says sell. And I was saying last week, wasn't I, like God was challenging my heart, like, are you going to sell? And like it seems the very opposite to kingdom disruption, which we talked about last week. But what I felt over the last week or so, God was speaking to me about, actually, no, there is a kingdom disruption called settling. Is actually, and this is why we live in the nuance and the tension of the kingdom, is that one day you feel this way and the next day it feels like something else. And as long as we stay close to God and his word and his voice, we'll be fine. But actually we're called to settle, not in terms of kingdom expansion and growth, but the way that happens is by settling. In this passage, note that people are calling upon the Lord, they're seeking God, and they will be found by him. And then he says here, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. That is why the announcement I mentioned last week from the National Geographic about Hull being the place to visit in 2026 is a prophetic declaration. Our love and commitment to this city, how we love this city, what causes us practically to love this city, is absolutely paramount to what God is up to in our time and day. Now, this passage has been so significant in the life of the church down the ages. And this theologian called Augustine, he wrote a book called The City of God, in which he makes this point that within a city, there exist two cities. There's the city with the dominion of the enemy, where he reigns. And then God, the kingdom of light, places his church under his rule and reign of the kingdom of God. And these two kingdoms are clashing. And we, as Christians, we work for God's kingdom to come. and we mirror what is spoken in Revelation by John that talks about the final city. So in the beginning in the Bible, we start off in a garden and we end up in a city. And as exiles and strangers in this land, we are called, it is our job, if you like, our job description, to seek the peace and the prosperity of the city, to work in partnership with God, to bring that future kingdom into the present right now. And so as we labor and partner with God, it's as you, for those of you who are in employment right now, as you go to work tomorrow, you do so knowing that you have a bigger vision, a bigger view on just doing your everyday mundane things. Is that we are working for the peace and the prosperity of the city to which you have been called to. So listen, let me get really practical here. How you work, how you go to work, where you live, how you conduct your life right now really, really matters in terms of building and expanding the kingdom through seeking the peace and prosperity of the city. This really matters because God loves people because they're made in his image. He loves cities. And in our city, we have, what, 250,000, 300,000 people. God is passionate about Hull. He is more passionate about Hull than you and I. And he is committed to this because many people think that spiritual life is all about getting close with God and retreating away from people. Can I get an amen from the introverts? Even if you want to say amen, I don't know. But the spiritual life, yes, of course, there are times of retreating. That is a very healthy rhythm. The Sabbath principle is very important. But actually, the spiritual life is about where we're propelled to people with the gospel. And some of us in this church, we have ended up here. Someone has been called here, born here. He's studying here, but you are not in Hull and you've not come to this church by accident. It has been completely and utterly set up and ordained by God. And actually, what God is asking for you and I is a perspective shift. Maybe you are so frustrated in life right now. Life is tough. You are in a job that you don't like. Can I encourage you to seek the peace and prosperity of the city? If you don't like where you live right now, I'm not saying don't move house, okay? Maybe you've got to do that. But actually, maybe the answer is to learn to love where you're planted. Like, get to know the neighbors, invite them around for dinner, mow the neighbor's lawn, put out that person's bins for them. This letter in Jeremiah would have come at a very disruptive, very difficult time for these people. About 3,000 of the most educated Jews were taken captive from their home. Imagine that. You're taken captive from your home and made to walk hundreds of miles against your will and be placed somewhere else. These were people in exile. Great confusion, great disorientation, great fear, great anxiety. And of course, Jeremiah, the prophet of doom, you wouldn't want him in your home group, okay? And he is like, this is God's word to you. You've been uprooted, displaced. And here's my word to you. Stay where you are. Get planted. Get settled, have family, build generationally. You're going to be here for 70 years. That's like your entire life. You're going to be here the rest of your days. So like, get used to it. It's so like inconvenient. And I want to mirror that with our hearts right now in our lives. Some of you are saying, God, I hear what you're doing. I hear what you're saying. please, not right now. This is a bad time for me. I feel disorientated. I feel confused. I feel displaced like those people in exile. Life's not great. My health's not good. My circumstances are poor. The kids are playing up at home. My job is difficult. I wake up on a Monday morning like dreading going to work. Some of you are like, I do not feel mature enough as a Christian to live out the call of God on my life. And God says, no, it's now. It's now. If all you're doing is waiting for like the stars to align and for life to be perfect before we start asking God for the rain, before we start living this expansive kingdom life, which is about seeking the peace and prosperity of the sea every day where we do life, then it just won't happen. God is saying, seize the day, seize the moment. It is now. Just settle in your heart that I'm going to plant and I'm going to build strong where I have been strategically placed by God. And I'm going to move in the opposite spirit to the prevailing culture. That I might despise my workplace, but I'm going to ask God, the God of the rain, to come to soften the ground where I live, to soften the ground of my heart, and to use me to expand his kingdom wherever I am. I'm just going to steward really well what I have. I'm going to be faithful with what I have. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying when he says settle. That is actually really disruptive because it actually may be the opposite of what you want to do. Some of you don't feel settled in your marriage, and like for you, what you want to do is get out of that. Some of you don't feel settled in your singleness, and you're like, all you can think of is like, I wish I was married. And the married people wish they were single. All went quiet there, didn't it? Well, husbands and wives are elbowing each other. People want to move house. Or like, if only I got this, I would be more generous. Or if only this happened, like, it's the grass is greener on the other side mentality. But we need to start watering the lawn and the grass and the field that God has called us to steward where we are. That is how the kingdom works. God says, if you are faithful and you tend to the land where you are, even though it is disruptive and hard and difficult, I will bless that. And I'll cause you to grow. And he knows this, if you can excel and flourish in a place of drought, then imagine what you could steward with rain. And God is always, always, always about looking at the individual, looking at the heart and saying, are you faithful with where you've been planted? Are you gonna steward my time, my money, share my faith, pray? It's really important. This may be hard for some of us to hear, but don't allow self-pity to rule your life. Self-pity is a thief of God's power and purpose in your life. How can we do this? You're like, John, you don't realize how disruptive my life is right now. How can I do this? And the answer is in this text. It says that God carried them into exile. And that word carried, you should underline, highlight. What that means is this, is that you can flourish where you are if you walk in intimacy with the presence of God. If you know that it's him who's carrying you. Such a beautiful word. It's a picture of intimacy. It is his presence is with you. It's in you. We spent 2 months looking at the Holy Spirit over the summer. The Holy Spirit has made his home in you. That's the difference. That's why you can be in the most difficult job and still flourish. He is with you. So I want to encourage you all, is start to ask God for the rain in the season of rain to water the hard ground you're in right now. And maybe, if we're really honest, that's asking God's Spirit to reign and pour into our hard hearts. That's where it always starts. I've often found this, Lord, please change that circumstance. Lord, please deal with that person who's doing my head in. And the Lord's like, nope, it is all about you and your heart. It needs softening. This is actually where Christ is doing his best work and conforming you into his likeness. God's best work is always in difficult times, always. And it's horrible when we go through them, but think about those difficult times you've been through and look back in hindsight and think about the grace of God. Think about how much you grew in those difficult moments. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.